If you have your Bible, if you turn to Acts, the fifth chapter. Now, I want you to know today, I normally just prepare one sermon, but this week, this is about the fifth or sixth time I've prepared this sermon for today. And, you know, it wasn't there. So, if this is for you today, and which I think it is, if it wasn't for anybody else, it was for me. I needed to come to this story and allow God to speak to me in this story. In Acts chapter 5, and I won't read it to you, verse 17 to the end of the chapter. Follow there as I read. This is after they're seeing people healed, they're seeing the power of God. Ananias and Sapphira have lied to the Holy Spirit, and bam, bam, God knocked out too. Just like that, you don't lie to God. And people were even healed when Peter would walk by and his shadow would go over them from the power of God. Now I want you to know that Peter didn't have anything to do with that. Who produced the shadow? The Son produced the shadow. It was by what God did. So, boy, the chief priests, the religious types, they're all wound up. They don't know what to do with this. It's out of control now. What are we going to do? So that's where we pick up in verse 17. But the high priest rose up along with all of his associates, that is the sect called the Sadducees. He was part of the liberal party. Yeah, they had liberals and conservatives then too. You know. They had the Sadducees, which were, they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Come on now. You gotta hang in with these old preacher jokes, you know, there, because this is an old preacher. And the conservatives, you know, the anal retentives were the Pharisees, and they were filled, the scripture says, with jealousy, and they laid hands on the apostles, not to bless them, I might add, and put them in public jail. But an angel of the Lord during the night opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, said, "Go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple." The whole message of this life, this way of life. You know, long before we were called Christians, we were called people of the way. It's a way of life. It's not a religion. Christianity has never been a religion. Man makes it a religion. Christianity is a way of life, and a way of life forever. Upon hearing this, they entered into the temple. You know, angel does the jailbreak, gets them out, they're in the temple now. About daybreak, and they began to teach. But when the high priest and his associates had come, they called the council together. Even all the senate, the sons of Israel, sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought in. Now, what are they going to find when they get to the prison? Well, those prison bars couldn't hold them. These birds have flown on the wings of an angel, by the way. But the officers who came did not find them in the prison. They returned and reported back, saying, "We found the prison house locked quite securely, the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened up, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them as to what would come of this. Now imagine what they're thinking. Already, their mindset, they've already seen people healed. They won't want to acknowledge it. They've seen the power of God. They've seen the Spirit of God sweeping through that place. They don't know what to do with it. And now, the prisoners that were supposed to be there are not there. Then someone came in reported to them. And what do you think this report's going to be? They're not in the prison. They're down here preaching. You tried to shut them up and you couldn't do it. Let's read it. But someone said, behold, the men whom you put in prison, they're standing in the temple and they're teaching the people. Then the captain went along with the officers and he proceeded to bring them back without violence. For they were afraid of the people, lest they should be stoned. Talk about turnabout here. And when they had brought them in, they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them. Now, I don't know this, but I kind of imagine there might have been another shadow coming through there. And who's on trial here? Who's really on trial? God's turned it around. And we're going to see how. So they question him and say, we gave you strict orders. You were not to be teaching in this name. You see, even the religious people knew something about the name. That the name meant something. At the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord over all. There's something about that name. That name. Behold, you fill Jerusalem with your teaching. Oh, that we could fill Savannah, Georgia. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. What man are they talking about? Jesus. Yeshua. The Christ. The Messiah. Messias. Whatever, Emmanuel, whatever name you know him by. Jesus. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. Stop and underline that right there. We've got to obey God rather than men. In other words, hey boys, it doesn't matter what you say today. We're not doing what you say, we're doing what he says. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on a cross. He's the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince, as a savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Now what's Peter doing now? He's preaching the gospel to them. He's bringing the good news. They're bringing accusation and he's bringing good news. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. Imagine that when he said, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you talking about? But see, in their inmost being, these guys that were accusing them, these religious people, they knew that something was happening that they couldn't put their hands on. Something they couldn't control that was moving there. There was a power that was there, a presence that was there, that was larger than life. The power of the Holy Spirit, the very person of God, was there. And God has given this Holy Spirit to those who obey. But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and were intending to slay them. Cut to the quick. They were mad as blue blazes. They wanted to put them to death immediately. Let's do it now. You know, they weren't angry because they misunderstood what they had been told. They were angry because they understood exactly what they were had been told. And what these guys were proclaiming was that Jesus is the Messiah. The Son of God lived a perfect life, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. They were angry because they understood exactly what Peter was saying. But a certain Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. Now let's talk about Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the grandson of the great Hillel. Great Jewish teacher, writer of the law. Great man of God. Gamaliel was an academic's academic. He was a man of great stature in that time. And in fact, Paul was educated by him. Paul said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. This guy has a wide berth. He has a lot of influence. He's a key religious leader. He does not believe in Jesus. But look what he says to them. He said, men of Israel, take care what you propose to do to these men. Now, in South Georgia, we would say a blind hog can find an acorn occasionally. This, you get that? This man in all of his blindness, on the one hand, but in some wisdom, knows enough about what he's seen and is honest enough about it to say, be careful. Be careful. For some time ago, and look at his illustrations. He gives two illustrations. He said, for some time ago, Judas rose up, and claiming to be somebody, a group of about 400 men joined up with him. He was slain, and all those who followed him were dispersed, and it came to nothing. You see where he's headed with this? Be careful. Be careful that in doing something to these guys, you don't make it worse on yourselves. Let it play out. Let's read the rest of it. And then after Thutis, this man Judas of Galilee. Now, Josephus, the great Jewish historian, writes of Judas of Galilee. Not Judas Iscariot. This is another Judas. Who rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished after all those who followed him were scattered. And so, now back to the present case. I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For, now get this, if this plan or action should be of men, it will be overthrown. Is that true? If something is, it's going to go by the wayside. So what Gamaliel is saying is correct. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow it. Or else you may even be found fighting against God. Is that a true statement? And that's exactly what happened to him. And they took his advice after calling the apostles in and flogged them. They flogged them. And they ordered them to speak no more in the name of Jesus. That's a waste of breath, isn't it? And then they released them. So they went out from the presence, this is Peter, the apostle, from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Whew. Now, in a couple of minutes, I just want you to see some things about authenticity. Did you see authenticity in that passage of Scripture? Did you see authentic men standing authentically for the authentic Jesus, the real deal? Real men standing up for what they believe and carrying it through and finishing well. In fact, in the company that was there of the apostles, only one of those guys did not die a martyr's death, John. The rest of them were put to death for their faith. You know, it's time for us to start being real. Real Christians. Whose real lives speaks of their real faith, where life and faith go together. In other words, where you're not just saying, oh, I believe in Jesus, and then you're living like hell. Do they go together? Real people. Do you know what? The world can see right through us, can't they? Hit it, John.
Hey, I'm Ryan. I'm a Christian, and this is my story. Growing up, I never missed going to church. When I was 12, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was even baptized. It undoubtedly was a very important decision. It even affected how I lived in high school. I mean, don't get me wrong, I had fun on the weekends. I had a girlfriend, a couple, but I was a normal high school kid. College was one big blur, but I did make it to church out of obedience. And after school, I married a great girl, and she's been a great influence on me. Life's been good. I have a house, three kids. I couldn't ask for more. I mean, sure, I worry about my future. I mean, my marriage, it could be better. And I need to spend more time with my kids, but things will be all right. I have my faith. You may not hear me talk about it a lot, but it's just because it's personal. But don't worry for me. My Jesus is real.
Did you feel the cold steel of conviction slice through the Christian culture of our society? Did you feel it? It's time to get real. It's time to really practice what we say we believe. It's time to really let the Spirit of God live through our lives. It's time to be honest. It's time to be transparent. It's time to stop trying to fool people with a life over here that is disconnected from what we say is reality over here. Who are you in the dark? Authenticity. Do you know why our world, in the Western world, doesn't believe the church very often? Because they've listened to us before. And they don't see anything different in our lives. Don't hear me today calling for us to become weird in the name of Jesus. Or strange in the name of Jesus. I'm not calling for either of those. I'm calling for what this story that I read to you speaks of. Being real. You take Peter and the apostles out, and what do they say? We must obey God rather than men. They were men who couldn't be bought because they had already been bought by the price of the blood of the Son of God. Their lives had changed. It's time to get over the fear of the consequences if we really do practice our faith. Hey, what's the result if we don't practice our faith? Fastest growing religion in America, you know what it is? Islam. It's moving through this world right now. It's time for us to be real and have a real life that shows that we belong to Jesus. No more fear of what can happen? Because what will happen if we don't stand? What will happen to our children? Last week, 40 of us stood out with on Sunday afternoon, standing up for the unborn of this country. And thank you to all of you who came out there, and so many of you that prayed. What did we hear over and over again as people came by? I've never heard so many affirmations. People blowing their horns and waving and thumbs up. I counted, my dad and I counted this, and we only counted 4 of other signals that were given to us. Because they're always going to be some. And some of them tried to be real sneaky with it. And I thought, man, be a man. If you're going to do it, do it. Don't be some mamby-pamby. Get out there and man up. If that's what you stand for, then stand for that. But if not, stand for what's right and for what's real in this country. And that's just one issue. One issue that God is going to deal with us in this country about all the unborn that we're putting to death every single day. It's time to follow through on our commitments. You see, Peter and the apostles, did they follow through with authenticity? They were not complicated people. It was a simple gospel, simply practiced in their life. And oh, they were great, a great outcome. But who was with them? Who sent the angel? Open the door. Who set the system up there that made these religious types, these academics, the smart guys, made them all look like hyenas? I mean, look at it. They're the laughing stock. Who's standing in whose shadow here? It's time for us to be the authentic people God has called us to be. That's one of our values. Authenticity. Be real. Don't be plastic. It's time to realize the true nature of the war that is going on right now. There's a war raging in our world, and it's a God and not God war. With whom will you stand? You say, well, I'm not at the G8 or the G10 or the G20 or whatever the next one's going to be. I don't even know what G stands for. But you know what? Not one of our congressmen, no one in our government, in our city government, lives where you live and has the influence that you have in people's lives. It's time to start living it out on a grassroots basis and to let the Holy Spirit of God come and give you power. Power to live out your life authentically in the name of Jesus. It's time to get real. Look around you. Where's your world headed? It's headed for a climactic conclusion. Never before has the second coming of Jesus been closer than it is today. The pieces are being put in place. And a little side note, I mentioned judgment about our nation. We've got people right now that want to lift our hand of support off of Israel. And let me guarantee you what's going to happen when we do that. The Bible's very clear. It says, I will bless them who bless you and do what? Curse those who curse you. I've read the end of the book. You have too. We know how this thing comes out. Jesus wins. No, he's already won. The devil thought he had him. Dead and buried. But 3 days later, that old hymn, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foe. He arose the victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with whom? With his saints to reign. Who are the saints? We are. Let's practice. I'm Saint Dusty. Why don't you say it? Hello, Saint Dusty. Let's practice now. Yeah, a couple of you did. And John, I'm not going to do what I usually do. I see you back there. You think I'm going to trick everybody. Y'all don't trust me. We've got Jesus. Is he enough? Is he going to be enough on your job in the morning? Is he going to be enough in the hell hole you go back to? Is he going to be enough when you hear the haranguing of all the circumstances that go on in your life? Is he going to be enough? Are you going to be able to say, hey, you tell us what you want to tell me, but I'm standing for him. You're not going to shut me up. You're not going to shut up my life. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to be his child and live it out. Not being obnoxious. Not being a Jesus pain in the neck. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about leading with the love of Jesus, the kindness of God, the practice of all of those gifts of the Spirit, all of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, goodness, all those things. All of it. Living it out. Being real, authentic people of God. You think that'd make a splash in Savannah? Well, you know, Jesus started with 12. You know, one of them bombed on him. And I think we got a lot more nets sitting here today. And look at all the places we come from. You wouldn't get a group like this together anywhere in Savannah, in Georgia, for that matter. Look at us. Look around. Look at all the places we come from. We've got a wide group of people. And the only thing that joins us together is our Lord. He's Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads. We're going to open the altar if you want to come and pray. In fact, while I'm praying right now, you can come on. The altar's open. Pastors will be here, life group will listen. You want to pray with the folks, I encourage you to come and let God speak to you. If you've never received Jesus today, I want to say to you today, Jesus can change your life. He died on the cross for your sin. He arose on the third day. He'll give you a new life and He'll allow you to spend forever with Him. And that begins right now if you ask Him to come into your life. For us as believers in Christ, say that we we've been baptized, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe it's time to start acting like it. It's time to start letting the Spirit of God live out through our lives, through the little things of our lives. The altar's open. Come today. Come. Allow. Do business with God. Maybe you want to go get someone to pray with you today at the altar. This is your time. Lord Jesus, I thank You. I thank You for Your love. I thank You that You came from heaven on the rescue mission to bring life to us who were dead in our trespasses and sins, separated from You forever. But Lord, You gave us life. Life abundant. Lord, this world may be headed to hell in a handbasket, but Lord, You say You're coming back and You're going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. And we believe that. We believe that, Jesus, because we believe You. We love You. I ask You to come now. Come now. I pray for all sorts of needs that are here. Lord, needs that are just opportunities for the power of God to work. A need is just a doorway to let God into your life. And I'm asking You, Lord, that You'll come today to all these needs. Lord, we have people here with financial needs, with physical needs, with health needs, with family needs, with marriage needs, with children needs, with business needs. Lord, we've got a list long as our arm. But Jesus is the great physician. He can come and heal and move. He is the Savior. And we bless You today. Now, Lord, as we open this altar, come, Spirit of God, move in us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Tina wants us to pray for her. And she's having surgery this week on her right hand, carpal tunnel. And I asked her, I said, well, why are you scared? She said, I don't know, not being awake during that surgery, you know. Kind of thing. And you believe in the great physician? He can come and heal. If you want to come and lay hands on her with us as we pray, here comes her sister, Sister Julie.
Saint Julie.
Saint Julie. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Can't you feel the love? All right. I don't think you want to get into that.
Can I go home with you?
Okay, I'm in pain. Y'all have a mess.
And we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's just listen here for a second. We pray against fear. Spirit of fear, be gone in the name of Jesus and by His power. Lord, it is Tina's right hand. We're calling upon You, Lord, for Your healing for her. God, I'm praying that You'll visit her in this time. That she'll feel the power and the presence of God. And Lord, our physical ailments are never just about the physical ailment. Never. There's always more. And I'm asking You to come to our sister that we love very much. We thank You for her. For all that she means to so many of us. I'm praying, God, today she can receive from You. Receive all that You want to do in her life, including the things You want to change. Lord, we're asking You to change this physical malady. We pray, God, that You'll change everything else. Draw her closer to You, Lord. God, I pray after this surgery, she's going to look more like Jesus. In Your name and in Your power. We thank You. Amen. Amen.
Except the beard and the long hair.
I'm not going to say amen because I don't believe that... Even though amen means so be it. We would take amen to mean, well, that came to a conclusion. Now we go to something else. No. What I'm going to do right now is to send you out.
Wait a minute.
Oh.
Don't let God's people go yet. I'm right here.
Oh,
I'm
I heard
sorry.
A boy. and it
you
was
are...
an angel. Saint Stacy.
You are hearing voices, Dusty. If I could get you and Audrey and Dane and Kathy and Rick and Regina to come on down, please. Y'all come stand together. No, it's not the dating game. I'm sorry.
I've already got my date.
Yes, and you are so lucky to have her, Saint Dusty. Today is Clergy Appreciation Day, and it's just one little day to say how much we love you every day. And, you know, the Bible says, I thank God in every remembrance of you, and that is how we feel about each of you. Rick, Regina, Audrey, Dusty, Dane, Kathy, your kids, we love you dearly. And, you know, you've seen us at our best, you've seen us at our worst, you've prayed with us, you've rejoiced with us, and we love you. And I do need some help. Will you? Okay. We do have just a small token of our appreciation and our love for you, and with these tangible things that we hope you will enjoy and be blessed with, I just think as a body we will agree also that we are going to pray for you more regularly in the year ahead. So, and if the life group leaders would come up, please, life group leaders, I'm sorry, this is a surprise. But we also want to send you out, so to speak, and just to, if the life group leaders would just lay hands on these folks and just whoever feels led, let's just pray for our pastors. And like I said a minute ago, if y'all would just commit as a body, let's commit to pray for them regularly.
Lord, we lift these families up to You, these leaders of our, these shepherds that we have. Lord, we ask You to bless them and protect them, their families, their hearts, Lord, to continue to ask for You to pour Your words out through them that we can come closer to You. Bless these families. Mm-hmm.
Father, ask Your divine protection. Mm-hmm. That Your angels, Lord, would continue to surround these households, these families, Father, and Some of them don't live at home anymore, Father. That's mm-hmm. the protection of the children that aren't home anymore, Lord. That, that you would watch over the entire household, Father. The protection here at home, on the travel, and just day-to-day, Lord. That, they, that no harm would or could come to them or their families.
Lord,
Lord,
I pray.
Lord, we thank you for their leadership. Lord, I pray you continue to speak to them in dreams and in visions and in audible words, Lord, as they continue to carry out the mission of the Sycamore Network, Father God. We just pray that you continue to manifest the love and leadership that Jesus is. We say out loud that we support them and we have their back and that they can count on us to be their eyes and their ears and to be the hands and feet as well.
And Lord, I pray for them that they pour out so much of themselves to so many of us, Lord, that you would refill them and fill them afresh, a hundredfold for every bit that they pray out and they give out of themselves and their care and their love. That can be exhausting. I pray for your energy and your power to fill them and that they will walk in that fresh every day and just a divine protection over their marriages. They will continue to be men and women of integrity and that they will put you first and then each other and their family and just have the right priorities.
Lord, I thank you for humble servants who have picked up your wash basin and have encouraged others to help them carry it, Lord. There's not many leaders who get down and dirty and lead in that way, and I just thank you for being witness to it and being encouraged by it and fully understanding that it is your example that they are setting. I thank you for each one and the part that they played in my life and the lives of all those that are here this morning and all those that have been sent out, Lord. There's people from the network all over this world. And the servanthood that everyone has laid out is lived out in all those different parts of the world because of their willingness to be obedient to your vision, Lord. And I just continue to encourage them and lift them up and just thank you. Can't thank you enough for what they do.
Let it be a joy, not a burden, for them to serve us as unto you, Father. Help us to submit fully to everything that they ask of us as unto you.
God's children said.
Amen.
Hip, hip,
God bless you. Thank you. I think Moses was in our basket.